Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show! Fox Sports Radio. Hope you are having a spectacular day. Get you ready for a spectacular Halloween weekend. Welcome in. These next 2 days are the 2 days in which you can get dressed up on TV and people think it's fun or funny. I will only say this about some of my media brethren who get dressed up for these couple of days on television. That's not fair. That's cheating. Right? Like, to me, the idea of Halloween, and you guys can discuss amongst yourselves if you have a different idea of Halloween, but my idea of Halloween is very, very simple. One, I prefer funny over scary, but two, like, the true art to it is this. I've always liked Halloween costumes where you find stuff in your house and that's what you make it out of. Now, I'm not trying to get at your business if you own a Halloween store that's open for 1 month out of the year. Okay? Or if you run an online Halloween clothing business. I can tell you this, though. People who have professional makeup artists, that's not fair. That ain't right. But anyway, enjoy your Halloween. We'll do a Halloween candy list at some point. How is that not part of Rank'em? Don't we have Rank'em going? I'm interested. Why don't we have Rank'em going? All right, let's get to this. To me, this weekend in the NFL, two games especially, and maybe even three, are about show me Sundays. Right? You know how Missouri is the show me state? What a great name. Show Me State is an incredible name. California is the Golden State. No, not because of the Gold Coast of Orange County. No, it's because they discovered gold here. Nevada is the Silver State. Of course, they had the Silver Run in Nevada. But Missouri is the Show Me State. This is Show Me Sunday. Because I can think of two games and two teams in those two games that I know they're good. I'm not denying that they're pretty good, but I think these are the types of teams that they have to prove it to us that they can beat or they can look good against in order to show us on some level they're better than the tier we think they're in. Let's take the Ravens. They're taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and since they started Lamar Jackson at quarterback, since that happened, right? Since that took place, you know, ironically or interestingly enough, they are 9-1 in division play, which kind of goes counter to kind of my thoughts and logic on the zone read scheme that Greg Roman is using, which is the more you see it, and divisional teams see it more often, the more you see it, the better you'll be against it. But we also have to factor in that over the past 2 years, the Cincinnati Bengals have had the worst defense in football. Over the past 2 years, the Cleveland Browns have been a dysfunctional mess. And last year, the Pittsburgh Steelers were a shell of them, their usual selves, not just because of the Ryan Shazier injury going back 2 years ago and the Antonio Brown departure of a year and a half ago, but because they lost Ben Roethlisberger. That said, 9-1 against conference foes is nothing short of amazing. On the other hand, this is a legit Pittsburgh championship caliber defense and team. They've seen the style, so they know how to react and defend that style. And they're a team where there's a pretty good chance that the Pittsburgh Steelers can get a lead. And that has been the flaw in the chink in the armor, if you will, to Lamar Jackson's super strong chain. Like, no one's saying that Lamar and the Ravens can't beat up on teams, but can they compete against the elite teams on their schedule? So far, 0-1 against the elite team of the AFC, that being the Kansas City Chiefs. This is a show me Sunday. I'll tell you another team. The New Orleans Saints go on the road to Chicago. It's going to be 36 degrees at kickoff and getting cooler, and it's supposed to be up to 20-mile-an-hour winds. Outdoors in the cold. That is everything that runs counter to an older quarterback who lacks arm strength. Combine that with the fact that you're going against a nasty Bears defense. Think what you want about the Bears offense, which is a bit of a dysfunctional mess. This is a Bears defense which dismantled the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on their home field going back 3 weeks ago. What do you think they're going to do to Drew Brees? You got the weird situation with Michael Thomas, who, of course, got the biggest contract in the history of the sport for the position, but has rarely been on the field because of injuries and some behavioral issues. But the bigger thing is, can Drew Brees win a game outdoors? He's a below 500 quarterback outdoors during his career. He's substantially above 500 playing indoors. And this year, this stands the reason that whether it's Green Bay or Seattle or Chicago, maybe Philadelphia. Remember, home team gets the, right? Win your division, get a home game. One of those places is where the Saints are going to have to go. And I know that a couple years ago, they should have beaten the Minnesota Vikings, but again, that was in a dome. It was in a dome. Outdoors, cold weather, good defense. It's much like Lamar Jackson, a defense that knows their scheme, knows their system, has time to prepare, has the personnel to stop the run, and a quarterback who can make plays against the pressure and blitzing scheme of the Baltimore Ravens and has seen it before, all of those things. Both of these games, show me. I want to believe that the Saints are still contenders, but even against a team that is limited on offense, whose defense is equal in scoring with the offense, I don't believe it until I see it. And the same thing goes for the Baltimore Ravens. The same exact thing. So show me Sunday. Show me Sunday. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Since 2018, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati have a winning percentage below 400. Lamar Jackson's 9-1 against the North, and the Bengals are the worst team in the league. The Browns are a dysfunctional mess. And, of course, the Steelers had all that stuff where Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and Ben Roethlisberger all not playing for them last year. I want to see what Lamar does against a real Steelers team that Sunday. And the Bears, sixth against the pass, nasty defense, cold weather, outdoors. Well, Byer, if you had children, would you let them trick or treat?
No, not in general. It may be, like, you know, go over to like grandparents' house or something like that, but probably not.
Yeah, I think what our plan is we're big K1 Speed people. Has there been a K1 Speed go-karts?
Yep.
Pretty awesome. So, go-karts, and then I think each... And they may have a friend, and we'll let everybody get two bags of candy, two different, you get a type of candy, but you get a bag, okay, so that you can share, everybody gets one of them, right? But you get to pick your own bag, and then we have like a candy challenge where you try, like go through and try every candy, and then we rank all the candies. What do you think? Well, Matt, this will be the second, it snowed again in Connecticut last night, but we had a bad snowstorm the year before we moved out, so this is probably 2011, there's a bad snowstorm. And it knocked power out for a week, so there was no trick-or-treating or whatever that year. But I think that's the best I can come up with so far. But I'm interested. You know, some people have developed kind of these long, like almost PVC pipes where you ring in the doorbell and you're way out in their front yard and you put that's too much work for me. Too much work for me. Too much work for me. I think I know where Matt Ryan's future lies. I'll tell you where that is next. But first,
be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. You know, I apparently now it's becoming a thing where we're going to, like, broadcast who we're voting for. I just saw one person who I like, I consider a friend. They wrote a piece as to why they're voting for who they're voting for, and they basically used things that are discussed on social media as kind of, well, I don't like that this is on, you know, and it's basically a social media. This has nothing to do with, but you're going to have your own logical reasons why you vote for who you vote for. But what happens is when you put it out there, we're like, okay, well, that's not necessarily what this is about, but okay. Okay. Just make sure you vote. Make sure you vote. That's the whole thing, right? If you're wherever you sit on whatever side of the aisle, or if you're sitting in the aisle, just vote. Like, we should make it we should become the country where everybody who's eligible votes. That would be really, really cool. Really cool. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. You know, I was watching Matt Ryan last night, and Ryan, make sure I get my credit on my pick last night, because I did pick the Atlanta Falcons to win straight up, and they did. They took down the Carolina Panthers, and I believe Beyer and I had the Panthers. Is that correct, Beyer? I think so. Yeah, we had the Panthers. I'm going to give Beyer credit, because I believe he said it first. I mean, we both had the Falcons, right? I remember Dan saying, I take Atlanta. And I remember Ramos saying, I take Carolina. Is that he picked Trent Ramos? Did I get that right?
I don't think we made picks.
Yeah, I don't think
we did. At the end of the show yesterday.
I think maybe you thought we may have made picks. Yeah.
No, at the end of the show.
You may have made a pick, but I know I didn't. I would have picked Carolina.
You would have?
Yeah.
I asked you. I said, it's a 1-point spread. Who do you like? And I thought you said Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't recall.
I was going to give you credit. I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah. That's because last night it was such a toss-up. I said to my wife, I go, who do you want to pick in this game? And she went Panthers, and I let her have it for 3 hours, with the Falcons leading. Yeah.
Right. So that way when your bookie knocks at the door, and because you can't use BetRivers here in California, right? So when your bookie knocks at the door, you're like, hey, ask Lisa.
Yeah.
Hey, Lisa's got all the money in the family. She's the one who made the pick. You know, she can pay you the VIG. She can pay you the VIG. I continue to believe Matt Ryan still got gas in the tank. I know we've somehow made it up in our minds that Matt Ryan is done, right? That he's finished, that he's washed up, that he's kaput. And the truth is, like, Matt Ryan's still good. Still good enough. Okay, so, like, what makes sense for so what Tom Brady did defies what normally happens in the world of the NFL. All right, so stick with me for a second. What normally happens to the world of the NFL is you go somewhere that you are missed, that the person who's hiring you or person who's coaching you has coached you before. I mean, take a look at the Indianapolis Colts. Why did it make sense for Philip Rivers to go play for Frank Reich? He had his most success over his last 7 or 8 years when Frank Reich was his quarterback's coach in San Diego. And you go where you have a rabbi in the room, somebody who believes in you. You know, take a look at all these different quarterbacks who shuffled. Cam Newton settled on the Patriots not because he had any relationship. That's what was weird to me. There was the warning sign that Cam Newton was washed up, was Ron Rivera, he knew eventually he'd need a quarterback, and he could have gotten him for nothing, and instead, he took his backup. Brandon Bean, of course, used to coach him, or used to be in the front office in Carolina, and, you know, his head coach in Buffalo, Sean McDermott was the defense coordinator when they went to the Super Bowl. They didn't want him to be the backup. I know he didn't want to be a backup, but there was no conversations about him being a backup. And Carolina didn't want him. So the places he had relationships didn't want him. Nick Foles. Why did Nick Foles end up in Chicago? The head coach, Matt Nagy, Bill Lazor, who's the offensive coordinator, and even their quarterback coach had all worked with him before, either in Kansas City or in Philadelphia. You go where people... Okay, so here's the logical conclusion. Stick with me for a second. Jimmy Garoppolo is fine, is athletic, He's good looking. There are times in which he looks like the guy. But if you've watched Kyle Shanahan, he's grown increasingly frustrated with Jimmy Garoppolo and the big interception, right? That's what he's prone to, the big mistake. The New England Patriots are going to need a quarterback next year. Jimmy Garoppolo used to play for the New England Patriots, and the things that they do and how he plays, they know him, and that makes sense. It's like getting reunited. High school sweetheart, and now all of a sudden you're out of college, and you're like, you know what? We should date again. Which brings me Matt Ryan. Now, I do think Matt Ryan lacks a big-time arm, but that's okay, because you can play in a dome, and it gets hidden. The only other thing other than a dome that hides your arm is playing in good weather. Now, Santa Clara, it's not San Francisco cold, but it's not LA, it's not Vegas, it's not super heat. But think of that division. Seattle's bad weather, San Francisco's not, Arizona's a dome, LA's a dome. And more than anything, knowledge of the system. He was the MVP of the league when he played with Kyle Shanahan. And I'm guessing that if Kyle Shanahan needs a quarterback, he's not going to turn to a rookie. He would turn to a guy he would know very, very well. Kirk Cousins, who he likes, is under contract and has shown his ceiling. Matt Ryan's ceiling is the Super Bowl with a 28-3 lead. The musical chairs feels like this. Garoppolo back to New England, Matt Ryan to San Francisco. I don't know that. I just assume that because in the NFL, as in life, you go where you got somebody who believes in you, who's worked with you before. We have that in our business. You know, we just keep following each other around because we've worked together, we know each other, we trust each other, we respect each other. What happens in TV happens in radio. That will likely happen in the NFL.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
He's Hugh Jackson, former NFL head coach, kind enough to spend some time with us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Hugh, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good, man. You've been in this rivalry before. Ravens, of course, you know, your long coaching tenure with the Cincinnati Bengals. Of course, you played against the Pittsburgh Steelers. How important? We're still in the first half of the season, but these are two teams combined one loss. In your mind, how important is that matchup to both these teams?
Oh, this is a big game for both organizations, both quarterbacks, both coaches. And I say that because it is the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. And it's going to be in Baltimore where John Harbaugh has done a sensational job of coming off of byes and winning games. I think he's won the last four. I think he's something like 10-2 in his career coming off byes. And then, you know, you have the bye week where the Ravens were working extremely hard on their passing game because they ranked 32nd in the pass. And so to watch the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are undefeated, who are leading the North Division, who is a huge rival against Baltimore. Ben Roethlisberger's back. Their defense is playing great. He's got some good young receivers, a runner. Boy, will they be able to go in Baltimore and steal one? Boy, what a tremendous game this will be on Sunday.
All right, well, help me out with the schematics of it, okay? In that, you know, look, the Ravens, yes, they haven't thrown it well this year, but their running game is not what you'd call a traditional NFL running game, right? The read,
right.
You know, it's the read option, zone read. It's got a little college feel to it. Obviously, Greg Roman did it in Buffalo. He did it in San Francisco to a lot of success. How does that match up with how Pittsburgh plays defensively?
Well, I think when you watch Pittsburgh from last week playing the Titans and one of the best runners in football in Henry, they shut him down. And the Pittsburgh Steelers don't care what kind of run game you have. You can zone read, option, zone, outside zone, inside zone, lead block, do whatever you want to do. They're going to shut it down. They're built to stop the running game, and they're very good at it. That's why they're the second best defense in football. And so they're going to make the Baltimore Ravens throw the football. There's no question in my mind. They're going to find out, are they really the 32nd ranked passing game? And that's what Pittsburgh has the personnel to do.
Okay. So, I mean, you were a quarterback's coach and an offensive coordinator, and your style and your quarterbacks were different. Obviously, you had a ton of success with Carson as your quarterback, who was very mobile, but incredible from the pocket, big, strong arm, different than Lamar. How difficult is it going to be for him to evolve as a passer against defenses that now seem to be figuring out what they're doing to set up the pass?
It's going to be hard. I mean, he's going to have to show and demonstrate that he can do it consistently. So their loss, their one loss is against the Chiefs. So people are going to really dig into that videotape. So you can bet the Pittsburgh Steelers have dissected everything about that particular game to see where are the situations that they can put Lamar in that puts him at a disadvantage. So that's the chess match of the game. And so they're going to find out, have they fixed the problem? You know, there's an old saying in the National Football League, you scratch where it itches. So where it's itching for the Ravens right now is in the passing game. And where it's really strong at for the Steelers is against the run. So you got two guys that are going to match, two teams that's going to match up against each other extremely well. And it's going to come down to these quarterbacks. It will end up being how well Lamar plays, and it will be important to how well Ben plays.
You mentioned Ben. The way the Kansas City Chiefs, they really, look, they protected Mahomes for the most part. And there were times in which his pocket athleticism and awareness was amazing, right? Just a step here, a step there, a run here. You know, not always running for a first down or even running past the line of scrimmage, but moving in the pocket. And because he has so much talent and so much speed, they just look too fast for the Ravens' defensive backfield to cover. Different personnel group, different style with Pittsburgh in their passing game. Can you compare and contrast what Pittsburgh likes to do as opposed to what Kansas City did?
Yes, Pittsburgh is going to have some of the same type of concepts against Baltimore. Ben is not Patrick, no doubt. I mean, he's not the athlete he is, but obviously he's a big physical guy who can stand in there and deliver the ball. He has unbelievable experience, so his football IQ on what Baltimore can do is off the charts because he's played them so much.
Sure.
So he's going to be a step ahead that way. And so it's going to be very important that his young receivers, this young man Johnson looks so much like a young Antonio Brown to me, and he's playing extremely well. Then you have Claypool, the rookie, who's playing well. And then Juju is coming on, but Juju hadn't had a 100-yard game in 11 games now. So those young guys are really starting to step up. But Ben will find ways to get the ball to these guys and get them a chance to make plays. And what Baltimore is going to be trying to do, obviously they have one of the best fronts in football. They just brought in Yannick from Minnesota.
Yeah, Yannick Ngakoue from Minnesota.
Yeah, from Minnesota. And so they're going to turn these guys loose, and the offensive line from Pittsburgh, they're going to have to meet that challenge. And when I've seen this team challenge that way, they rise to it. Now, not that they do everything perfectly, but they will rise to getting Baltimore blocked. No different than Baltimore will rise and trying to rush Ben Roethlisberger.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking about, before you joined us, I was talking about, look, there's, to me, I watched Matt Ryan last night. I still think he has plenty left in the tank. Obviously, he's helped out. He's not a strong arm guy. He's helped out playing in the dome. And in that division, you know, you either play in the dome or usually in pretty good weather. But he had his most success with Kyle Shanahan. And, you know, Shanahan and Garoppolo, I think he likes Garoppolo, but there seems to be a lack of trust there. And, I mean, Garoppolo will throw the big interception. I only bring you up because, look, you had great success with Carson in Cincinnati. When you got to Oakland, you made the move to bring Carson to Oakland. He wasn't really ready when he got there, right? Because, I mean, you had to throw him in extra early. But why,
right.
Why is that? Why do coaches like to bring in guys they've worked with before when they change addresses?
Because those guys know what it is. They know what your messaging is. They know what your style is. They know what you're trying to accomplish, plays in and play out. And they can be that voice that maybe when it's player to player, it's sometimes even more powerful, and especially when it's coming from a quarterback. And a quarterback who people see as one of the better quarterbacks in the league, the attention to detail is way different when that happens. When you bring in somebody that you don't know, now you're spending the time to try to get to know the guy, let alone the players trying to get to know him. The coach has to figure out what's going to be the best avenue to travel down to get this guy to play well. I didn't have that issue with Carson. I knew what he could do. I knew how he could do it. And obviously the guy put us, you know, one game away from making the playoffs. And that's unbelievable.
I find what's happening in Dallas to be really, really interesting. You know, obviously they moved off of three defensive players this week, and the defense has been an abject disaster. you've taken over jobs. I mean, obviously the Browns job was a difficult job, right? You're trying to establish culture where there wasn't culture beforehand. How do you handle that? How do you do that? Like, you know, I mean, some of this is if you could do it all over again, but how do you handle trying to turn something into Marvin did an incredible. I don't think people understand how good a job Marvin did in Cincinnati, right? Like,
they
were the laughing stock of the league, and he made the playoffs 5 years in a row in Cincinnati, where they don't spend money, and you know they don't. It's not a free agent destination. So, how do you instill a new system and a new belief when the players are fighting against it?
And I think you said it best, and I think it's a tremendous question, because when you walk in as a new head coach, that's when your value is the highest, because either you got the job because you did a good job someplace else. So that precedes you. So that's when your status is the highest. And so the organization really wants to take you and this team to another level. They will do the things that you need to do to be successful, not that they need to do. And I think that's so important, because that's normally where the marriage starts to go the other way, because maybe the organization realizes in the end, well, we really want to do it this way. And the coach is saying, well, we got to do it this way to have success. And when those things are not aligned correctly, it just doesn't work. And when you say culture, the coach is the driving force behind the culture, because he's trying to get it from losing. That's where he was. That's where it is when he comes in. He's trying to get it to winning. And the only way you can do that is by winning games. Yeah. You create the right environment for players. But at the end of the day, the players want to know that you can win for them. And that's the most important part of it.
Got to ask you a Baker question. You think he's better? Sure. You think he's better off without OBJ? And look, I've heard a couple of different things. You know, some of it is that OBJ's so talented, and he respects him so much that he forces the ball. Like, look, we had Daniel Jeremiah on earlier this week. He's like, you know, one of the things about OBJ is I'm not sure the depth of his routes are where they should be. So there's a little frustration there in that, yeah, you're trying to get him the ball, but he's not exactly where he should be. So that's why sometimes you throw a pick in trying to get him the football. I just, your general sense, it's a pretty good football team with a 5-2 record. Do you think they'll be better off even if they don't have the super talent of Odell Beckham Jr. the rest of the year?
I don't think you're ever better off when you don't have one of your stars playing. I mean, regardless of how they look at it, OBJ is a nightmare for the defenses. And whether he was not in the right place at the right time, he helped the run game go. You know, so he has an effect on the game that's different than what people think. You know, yeah, we want him to catch the ball and have 10 catches, all these yards and touchdowns, but he also opens up the running game, because you have to play a certain way when OBJ's on the field. So I don't think losing him helps them. I think Baker is starting to play better, personally. I mean, last week he had 5 touchdowns. He threw 4 of the 5 touchdowns in the shotgun formation. I think Baker is best when he gets to operate in the gun. That's what he did in college. That's what he's known for. That's how he won the Heisman Trophy. That's what made him the first pick of the draft. I think you have to gravitate towards that in order for him to get his own personal wins and in order for him to play well.
But Stefanski seems to be more of an under center guy, right? He wants to establish the run.
You just said it. And so I don't, and it's really interesting. I hear people say, well, in order to establish the run, the guy has to be under center. Well, that's not true. I don't agree with that. You can get in the pistol formation. That means the guy is right behind the quarterback and he's in the shotgun and still run the same running game. You know, to me, the most important thing about us as coaches, and I'm sure Stefanski will figure this out and he's good at it, that you have to let these players be the best version of themselves. And to me, that's what he did last week. After the first 5 throws, Baker Mayfield was an entirely different quarterback.
Yeah,
and Odell Beckham wasn't there, you know. And I don't think it had anything to do with him. I thought I just watched him play more in shotgun. He looked more comfortable. And he made more throws. And obviously, there was the pressure that he didn't play well the week before. So, but now they got to harness that and continue to build on that in order for him to go be the quarterback that a lot of people think that he can be and should be.
Harder to get a losing franchise to win initially, or harder to back up success with more success, right? Like that's the question, because you've been in both situations, right? Where to get them just to get to where you can turn into winner, but then you know once you get to where you're pretty good, now you got the attaboys, now you got some confidence, it becomes arrogance, and everybody wants to get paid. Which is more difficult from your perspective?
I tell you what, I'll take that arrogance and that and wanting to get paid in a heartbeat. as opposed to trying to get it to winning. I say that for this reason. When you walk into an organization like that and they haven't won, you got to remember a lot of people don't know how to win. A lot of people in the front office don't know how to win. So you're having to show people, if they're willing to follow, what it's going to take to get to winning. And I'm going to say it again, what they think winning is might not be what you think winning is. So it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So it's so important to understand that. But on the other side is, at least we are winning and we're trying to keep this thing going, and we might lose a player here or there. Maybe as a coach, schematically, I can make up for that a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit. But the other one is really hard. When you walk into an organization, they haven't won, and that organization might not even know what big-time NFL players look like. I mean, so there's a lot of learning that may need to go on the other side of this that, boy, might not let the coach be the best version of who he is, might not let the team be the best version of who they are.
You're an organic tequila guy. Why?
Oh, because it's the best. It's 100% Gran Leyenda, USDA tequila, organic tequila.
Yeah.
We don't add anything to our tequila. We'll compete with Casamigos, Don Julio, any of them. We have them all, from Blanco, Silver, Reposado, and Añejo, and we're coming out with an extra Añejo. And our tequila is almost like sipping wine.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, they do it with shots. You know, we'll get offended if you want to take a shot of our tequila.
Yeah.
Because we think it's that good. And we're partnered with the Black Hole. With the Raiders, we're their official tequila brand, and it's been awesome.
Yeah, let's get a little sipping tequila. That is a great way on a cool fall or winter night to watch some football. Be sophisticated and get that unique flavor of all that Añejo. God, great.
Get your cigar. Get your cigar too, and it'll be really good.
Hugh, enjoy that tequila this weekend. Look forward to talking to you very soon. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, that's Hugh Jackson joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Good stuff. Interesting stuff. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train stop. Trains can't paid for by NHTSA. How soon will Trevor Lawrence return after testing positive for COVID?
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Let's get to a game.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Buyer. Beware. What do you got?
Doug, the game today is...
Psychic.
All right, psychic. Will Trevor Lawrence be allowed to play against Notre Dame a week from tomorrow?
Johnny Lujack in Notre Dame. Yeah, Trevor. Yeah. Hell yeah, he's going to play. Going to have that magic COVID test. I don't know, Jim. He was positive 3 days ago, and now all of a sudden, he's negative. I think we play him. Yes, he'll be fine.
There was a report from Holly Rowe of ESPN saying
Let's go down to Holly Rowe.
They believe that Lawrence had these symptoms on Wednesday, and they don't believe that he had come in contact with really anybody at that practice.
Remember, they had a bunch
Wednesday.
Of guys who had it in the offseason, right? They had. We thought they were doing the old herd immunity thing.
But
so they got guys with antibodies in there.
Yeah, she thinks the report that she had was that Trevor Lawrence got it outside of the football building was what she thought. But also Wednesday was another key day because that could put the timeline to allow him to play against Notre Dame.
Remarkable.
All right.
Interesting.
Psychic. Well,
no, not Thursday. Wednesday. Maybe
Wednesday.
Tuesday, possibly Monday.
Yeah. Psychic, will last night's win turn around the Falcons season?
No.
No.
I mean, look, they haven't been terrible. They've had big leads that they have choked away. So do I think they can get to 500? Like, yeah. I just think, I mean, their defense is bad. So
they also have to play the Saints twice, Buccaneers twice, Chiefs, Chargers. So their schedule does get a little bit more difficult as things go on.
I like that you threw the Chargers in there with the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. Appreciate that.
Well,
they're 2-5 on the season, but they are much better than the record.
Yeah, they are. It could be a points of palooza when they play. Psychic, is Patriots cornerback Stephon Gilmore really injured?
No, he's hurt. You're hurt. I'm fine. No, you're hurt. Oh.
Yeah, I just find it quite coincidental that the guy who could be dealt before Tuesday all of a sudden tweaked something in a practice and may not be available for a game coming up.
I'm telling you, that Buffalo pick is so easy. Just nobody, like, I don't, it's like a 4-point line. It's so, Buffalo's good. The Patriots are not. My picture in the third hour of the show.
I'm not asking you for your pick, but this may reveal your pick. How many points will the Cowboys score on Sunday night in Philadelphia?
Ugh. I honestly, like, could you pick their quarterback out of a lineup?
No.
But we polled America and said, hey, you can't use your internet. Who's going to be the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys? Vandy Dalton can't go, and he probably can't go. Do you think they could name him?
No, absolutely not.
It's amazing.
Because it's also third string. Now you're down to that part.
Yes, but quarterbacks we usually know. Like, literally never heard of him.
All right.
It's like the guy that finishes fourth at the Olympics.
Psychic A.J. Hinch is back in baseball, the skipper of the Tigers now. Will former Astros GM Jeff Luhnow be a GM in Major League Baseball again?
Hey, why is it you? Are you begging in that trash can? Trying to answer the question over here. What? Jeff Luhnow?
Yeah. Do you think he'll get a job in baseball?
Not right now, no.
All right.
Because they had some other weird stuff going on where they had that, you know, they traded for the closer.
Roberto Osuna?
Right, Roberto Osuna. And then he had the assistant GM who went after who had the weird remarks. There was some other stuff going on that people weren't fans of.
Finally, Psychic, will we know who the president will be for the next 4 years on Wednesday?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is Game Time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
I've told you guys before, I'm fascinated by political science. And, you know, the polling data, as of now, looks good for Joe Biden. Not great, but looks good. But of course, the polling data, some people believe, looked really good, obviously, for Hillary Clinton 4 years ago. I think the difference was a couple things, how we read polls, but also there was a different feeling for people who are supporting the president as opposed to before he was the president. Well, we'll get to that next hour. It's kind of interesting, actually. It's Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.